Start your day with a positive affirmation and intention. Since 1924, Daily Word Magazine has offered inspiration and practical teachings through daily prayer messages to help people of all faiths. Your subscription includes 2 months of daily affirmations, articles, and spiritual poetry to keep you inspired and motivated. Check out the digital subscription package that includes the online magazine with audio, smartphone app, and daily email. Get your subscription today. Visit dailyword.com or unity.org. Practical spirituality. Positive messages. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Empower yourself and get inspired to build the life of your dreams. Welcome to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James.
Hello and welcome to our show. I'm Dr. Drayvon James and this is Everyday Peace. I am super excited to have you here with us today as we explore the concept of living a life of peace. Every day, peace defined as wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality. My goodness, I hope you're someplace safe where you can just close your eyes for a quick second and just inhale that you, peace, whole, complete, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality right now. No matter what your external condition is showing you, that is the truth about you. Hold your breath for just a second and then have a complete exhale from the mouth. Go ahead and just rejuvenate your whole self because I want you to know that yes, everyday peace is possible. And yes, you deserve everyday peace. And yes, you can have everyday peace. We work together on this show to bring you the topics and the guests to partner with you as you create your life of peace every day. And I have to tell you that last week we had an amazing show that I really, really enjoyed. We had two awesome guests. We had Mariah Abraham. I said her name wrong all last week. So if you listened last week, I know you had a good laugh at that. But she talked to us about how we can change our taste buds to crave foods that boost our metabolism. I don't know if that excites you, but that really excites me to really crave and desire the foods that would be most healthy for boosting my metabolism and would help us lose weight or maintain our desirable weight. It was an amazing discussion, and I love the title of her book, Eat Like You Give a Fork. Right? Sticks in your mind. It's very, 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 very catchy. So I love that book. And then we had Amanda Hainline who talked to us about her book, Feel Better in 5 Minutes. 5 minutes to improve your mood, to feel more optimistic about life. Can you even imagine that you could do that in 5 minutes? She discussed the power of using spiritual guides to feel better in 5 minutes. And I thought that was absolutely wonderful. The information they gave was great. So if you missed last week's show, I have wonderful news for you. If you want to learn how to change your taste buds in just 8 days to boost your metabolism, and that would really help with all that COVID weight and all that stuff that people say, you know, sitting around and being in quarantine may have been good for their overall health, but it was bad for the waistline. We can change that in just 8 days with the advice and that we got from last week's show. If you want to learn how to feel better, emotionally improved health in just 5 minutes, you can listen to last week's shows. And as a matter of fact, you can access our entire library of shows by subscribing to the Dr. Drayvon James Everyday Peace podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. Or you can listen to them on the unityonlineradio.org website. Another place where you can find all this information is on our new and improved brand new look to our website, which is Dr. Dr. Drayvon, D-R-A-V for victory, O-N, James.com website. That's Dr. Drayvon James.com website. This is our new website that includes transcripts from past shows, words of wisdom, encouragement, excerpts from my book, Freedom is Your Birthright, contact information, how you can find out how you could get keynote speakers who want to teach workshops for you, how you could, if you're looking for a life coach, you can find all that out by visiting drdravonjames.com. So if you haven't been there, I strongly encourage you, visit it today after the show, bookmark it so that you can stay in tune with all of the frequent changes that occur there. So we have a great show for you today. I'm super excited about our guest today. But before we get to our guest, we're going to pop by and do our everyday peace moment. So you will remember that a few weeks ago, we discussed the importance of self-confidence. Right? We all walk into the room and you can pretty much tell who has great self-confidence because we're drawn to those people who have great self-confidence. And we would love to be those people who have great self-confidence. So we explored ways to build our confidence. And I encouraged each and every one of us to adopt a new task first thing in the morning. There was a book that I read many, many years ago by an author, Brian Tracy. I don't remember the name of the book, but I remember in the book, he talked about eating the frog first thing in the morning. That was how he phrased it. And we do something first thing in the morning. And he was saying, oh, maybe something you do on your to-do list that you didn't find desirable, you go ahead and get that thing out of the way first thing in the morning. I have found that to be very helpful in my life. But we also were talking about doing something first thing in the morning for at least 7 days, a new task that we decide, it could be anything, that we decide we're going to do first thing in the morning. And then later on in the day, we would recognize and reflect on the fact that we started our day with an accomplishment, right? Because we have accomplishments all day long. The thing is, we don't stop and reflect and say, oh my gosh, I accomplished this, I accomplished that. And it is that sense of accomplishment which helps to build our self-confidence. So we talked about the different things you could do first thing in the morning, one of which was to start off with a 10-minute meditation or maybe some quick exercises like some push-ups or sit-ups or whatever, some planks, just committing to something and starting your day off with something. It could be something like prayer or writing a gratitude card. I talk a lot about that's one of the things that I do every morning, or simply sitting in the silence for a set period of time. It could be anything, no matter what you choose. All we ask is that you participate in this activity first thing in the morning for 7 days. And then afterwards, recognize as your day goes on your accomplishment and applaud yourself for it. Become self-aware that, yes, I did this today. And then in your own mind, heart, and soul, congratulate yourself for having that accomplishment. The goal is to help train your brain to recognize accomplishments when they happen. Accomplishments that we often overlook, right? Because we're always looking and digging into ourselves and looking for our mistakes and things we need to get better at, but we seldom take time to recognize our accomplishments. So that tiny exercise for 7 weeks would help to do with that, to increase our self-confidence. And I want to thank the many, many, many of you who reached out to me on the website to tell me that you were seeing success with this exercise. And some of you have decided to continue it long after the 7 days. So congratulations and thank you for reaching out. It brings my heart so much joy to read those comments. So thank you for that. And I'm glad that you did have the courage to try that. So if you started this challenge with us, I encourage you to keep it up. If you haven't started this challenge, I want to ask you, what are you waiting for? Go ahead and start right now. Make it part of your life right now. You will not be sorry. Now, today I have a new exercise, and it is talking about, again, building our confidence. And this one isn't a daily exercise. It's a one-and-done exercise, at least for now. I want it to remind you that you are the creator of things. We create things and we don't necessarily give ourselves credit. Sometimes we hedge on starting new tasks and getting involved with new things because we don't have the self-confidence that we can try something. We're afraid of new things. So we're going to start out on purpose this week. Pick one thing new to do, something small that you can create. It could be planting a flower bed in your front yard, or it could be putting a seed in a little flower pot, painting a picture, or painting an accent wall, writing a poem, just doing something new, creating something. So you creating something, bringing something from your subconscious, from your mind, and producing it in the physical world. It doesn't have to be something that you're really good at. In fact, sometimes and most times when we're trying something new, it is something that we've never done before, and we're a little clumsy at it, and that's okay too. I'm not asking any of us to be perfect at it. We're knowing that this will help us to become less hesitant to try new things, increase our sense of creativity and curiosity, and increase our self-confidence. So that is our Everyday Peace Moment, which leads us right into our first guest of the day. Our first guest is Sarah Troy. Sarah is the founder of Self Discovery Media. She hosts podcasts called Self Discovery, Orchard of Wisdom, where she shares the wisdom given by those who have gone through the process of life. Welcome, Sarah. It is lovely to have you on the Everyday Peace Show today.
Wonderful to be here, love. Good to speak to you again.
Oh, again, because we're in each other's life. I've been on your wonderful, wonderful show and have had the experience of being in your presence and in your glow. So it is just wonderful to have you on the Everyday Peace Show. So you can help the listeners understand the process of self-discovery, which is, to me, one of the fundamental keys to enjoying this journey is getting to understand ourselves.
Most certainly. I mean, it's all about self-discovery, isn't it? It's who are we? Why are we? What are we here to do? What are we meant to go through? Who are we meant to serve? You know, it's all that big question, and we've got to be willing to kind of take the journey to answer it.
Yes. You know, why am I here? And ultimately, you ask the question that I feel is gives me the most comfort. Who am I here to serve? Right. I love that question. So we don't have all the time in the world, but I know this is a loaded question. That's why I preface it like that. But how do we start that process of self-discovery?
A willingness for a start, you know, free will. We have to know that life maybe is not working for us in the way that we would like. And we may not know how, you know, or what path is for us, but we've got to be willing to put one foot in front of the other. That willingness to say, okay, I'm not happy with who I am or where I'm going. There is another path for me out there, and I'm willing to explore. And if we're not willing to explore, we won't discover. So the first step is stepping into out of your head, into your heart, which will allow your soul to speak through you, because soul cannot speak through a closed heart. And when your heart becomes engaged, even by the little things, the nature, the sunlight, the ripple of the breeze through the trees, the water up against the shore, our happy dogs, happy children, all of those little things start igniting your heart. And there is that desire to open up your heart even more and take that journey, that wondrous journey of one foot in front of the other into your own self-discovery.
Oh, you said something that actually made my heart sort of leap a little bit. Out of your head into your heart. And it seems like such an easy, it seems so flowery and comforting to me to hear. It's like a big bear hug for me. But it can be a very complicated process. And I guess, why is that? And how do we, what's the cliff notes to being able to do that? Because we spend so much time overutilizing our head and, you know, rationalizing the pain and discomfort and the fear. How do we stop that process to make that travel into the heart?
Stop looking at the destination. Start looking at the whole complex of things. You know, when I was at boarding school, we were kind of out in the countryside near the moors, and the teacher would say, "We're going for a long walk." And as little kids, it's like, "Oh, really?" And instead, the teacher would say, "We're going to walk to that tree. Now we're going to go and walk to that bush. Now we're going to walk over there." And the next thing you know, we're home. And the dauntingness of the journey wasn't so much because we had little destinations along the way. So don't put it all on your shoulders. Oh, I've got to do all of this. Is what is your first step? And the first step, I believe, is listening to other people's stories. That's the reason why we both do our shows, is through other people's stories, we get the inspiration that begets the invitation. We start seeing a reflection of ourselves in there. We see their courage and their strength and their abilities, and it awakens us to know, well, if they can, I can. I've got to take that first step. To break it down into smaller steps, don't daunt yourself with the whole thing on your shoulders. It is a process. Oh. However long that process is going to be, it's going to be.
I love that. It is, and that's how we eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. You know, looking, I love that. Looking, just we're just going to go to that tree right there, and it makes it seem doable, right?
Yes.
Because if I only have to go there, well, surely I can make it there, and then we can reassess from that point. Even, you know, I find that to be one of the things that trips people up the most is looking at the full, you know. Oh my gosh, I've got to do all of this. Mm. And that keeps them locked right in their place. The brain starts rationalizing why they shouldn't take the trip, you know, why they should remain right where
excuses,
they are.
Excuses. Yeah. Yes. They start coming in, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's this thing, and I love this, you know, the self-discovery, because it really, this whole journey, I believe that every encounter that we have or do not have, or every goal that we reach or do not reach, is meant to turn us inward so that we learn more about ourselves, right?
Yes.
This self-discovery, like all roads lead home if we allow them to looking inward and say, oh, look at that. That's how I feel about that. Or I've discovered this new part of myself. And in this self-discovery, I find that a lot of times, whether people know it or not, and I'd love to get your views on this, there is this huge amount of fear, right, that we cannot push past. Fear to the point where we become confused about what it even is that we want or don't want.
Mm. Funny enough, my show this week is on that. You know, and it's like, you know, how is fear serving you? And what truly are you afraid of? Because we're so conditioned to be fearful that half the time we don't even know what we are afraid of. And we become crippled because we're in our mind, yes, but what if? But what if? And I said, there's only one thing to do with your butt, and that is sit on it. You know, it is, you're not going to know. We're not going to know what's around the corner unless we're willing to walk it. Now, there is caution. There is tapping into your senses, which will always guide you to danger. But that's not the fear we're talking about. The fear is where people are too scared to embrace themselves from the inside out, to step into their beautiful awesomeness, their wonderful flawsomeness in that self-discovery, because they're so busy ridiculing themselves and condemning themselves and fearful of what other people's opinions are of them that it stops them from doing anything altogether.
Yes, right. And the fear, this, everyone who, you know, thinking that this person will think this about me, or they'll know this about me, or someone, here's the one I often get from clients, even though they don't use the words, but the implication is there. People will discover that I'm not perfect. Well, there's a newsflash for you. No one believes that you are perfect.
What's perfection anyway? It's somebody else's opinion, for goodness sake. You know, that's why I love flawsomeness, because we're all flawed. Let's celebrate those flaws.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what makes
us human. Isn't that something? Let's celebrate our flaws, and that way we know we remove this cloak of shame.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we move more into freedom when we're saying this is a flaw, and it, each of our, you know, we're like snowflakes. We all have these flaws, and they're all different. And I'm not saying that we don't want to work on ourselves to get to our best state of improved, our best improved self. But it's not a point of being so shameful that we cannot progress and pursue the desires of our heart. Comparison is very deadly. How do we get out of that? Because I do find that should be one of the seven deadly sins, right? comparison, yes. How do we move beyond that?
I think, you know, it's your own self-confidence will stop comparison. So how do you get to the self-confidence? Just, you know, the Don Ruth Four Agreements, speak your word with integrity.
Yes.
integrity. Don't take things personally. Don't assume. Ask. And do your very best, gauged on what your best is. And, you know, it's when you have stepped into that authenticity of who you are. And, yes, okay, I am not this, I'm not that, but I'm this. And this is my gift that I bring to the table. You know, we don't get so influenced by other outsiders' opinion of us. On social media, our friends, family, you should do this, you should do that, you should be more like. And it's like they can't see you for who you are because they're still in the shoulds. But don't let that
yes.
affect you. That's their journey, their opinion. Be true to who you are and always stand tall in your own self. And eventually, if they can, they will see you. If they can't, it means they haven't taken their own journey yet.
And that is none of our concern. Their journey is their concern, right? We get all mixed up in that. And I want to go back because I am fascinated by the work that you do and very privileged to know you. I think there is no other quest in life greater than the quest of self-discovery, because when we discover who we are is when we become truly empathetic and compassionate to others, right? When we the journey of self-discovery and then the journey of self-acceptance, right? When we honor that part of ourselves, it makes us less judgmental of ourselves and less judgmental of others. And we're probably the end of all wars when we get to the place of having that. But I go back to intuition and confusion, which seem to be polar opposites, because if we're moving in the true self, the intuitive self, right, it seems to me we wouldn't have all this confusion surrounding the one person we should know better than anybody else, which is self. But I do find that in talking with people that there is so much confusion even around the concept of being able to recognize their own inner voice.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on how that could be a more straightforward process for people?
As I said in the beginning, get out of the head, because that is doctrine, that is programming, and that is a forever question with no answer. If you can get out of the head and get into the heart, open up your heart, it allows that divine knowingness to come through you. And then we are never, ever alone. The universal knowledge and wisdom and love is always ready to come pouring through you, but it can't come through a closed heart. So opening up our heart, even if it is to pain, you have to go through the pain in order to heal. You can't close it down. We start feeling our knowledge, understanding our intuition, understanding what our senses are saying to us, and then the mind will know what it needs to know when it needs to know it. But if we go thought down, we will talk ourselves out of something or into something negative before we even get to the heart. So feel your knowledge, that divine presence of truth. Know it, feel it, and then your mind, as I said, will know what it needs to know, when it needs to know, with the data that has been accumulated in your head. You will understand what the knowledge is and how to use it. But please feel it. Don't always think it first.
I don't want our listeners to miss a bit of that, because there's something that you said really quickly, and I just jotted it down because I know that one of the philosophies I teach in Everyday Peace is that everything that comes into our life, the good, the bad, and the in-between, has come to bow down and serve us as we move to our next level of greatness. And you said the word that none of us wants. You said, you know, open your heart. Sometimes you have to open your heart through pain. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm speaking for myself in my journey. I know I spent a lot of my youth trying to avoid emotional pain, any type of pain. I didn't think I had the bandwidth for it. And our time is running down. But I think this is so important, because I think that someone will really need to hear this, is that pain, really emotional pain, really does get our attention. And now we are hyper focused in the now, usually, right? And because we have this heartache now, this pain now, and there is this part of us that wants to avoid that, to find a workaround, you know, so that we don't have to be with that pain. But I love what you said, that the pain will, if we're in that place, if that is someone that's in our listening audience that's in that place right now, not to reject that moment.
No.
To sit with
the pain is not your enemy. Yeah, the pain isn't your enemy. It's your lesson. It's a way of discovering your strength, your courage, your abilities, your awesomeness. And if you're willing to go through that pain, love yourself, nurture yourself, comfort yourself, heal yourself, the pain will show you its reason for being there. And you'll be able to let go of the pain and carry the lesson forward with you. But everything in life, avoidance is futile. We have to be engaged, even with the painful times, in order to go through them to understand the joyous times. So you can't hold back. The more you immerse yourself into it and go through it, the more you get to the other side, where you are truly stepping into everyday peace, joy, and love, and meaningful purpose.
Oh, I just love that. And I know that one of the processes that I use and use with clients is that there was a lovely phrase that I learned by attending a tapping session with one of our guests that we used to have on the show quite frequently here, Keisha, and she used this phrase.
She's been on our show too.
Yeah, you know her. We're moving in the same circles. Right? She would say, even though, you know, and I would just use pain, even though I'm experiencing this emotional pain because of whatever, you can put whatever, you know, fill in the blanks as you would, I still love and honor myself.
And
I mean, and I have been in some situations, you know, since learning that phrase, where I have said that phrase and I could feel my heart just opening up. You know, when, you know, it's to one, to acknowledge that, yes, these are the facts. I am hurt emotionally about whatever's happening, because that's part of the journey. But the being in pain, being in emotional pain, does not make me any less. In fact, I love and honor myself because I can recognize this. Sarah, how can our listening audience connect with you?
Very easy. Then go to selfdiscoverymedia.com. And if you want to get hold of me, you can go to info@selfdiscoverymedia.com. All of my sites are on the front page there, the selfdiscoverycommunity.org, hubofdiscovery.com. They all they have to do is put in your name in the search engine and your show will come up. And you've done other shows with other hosts that we've had on our network as well. And please come and listen to Devon's wisdom as well in more in depth. Selfdiscoverymedia.com.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back with our next guest after this show.
Thank you.
We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Welcome to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Create and build the life of your dreams. Welcome back to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James.
Welcome back to Everyday Peace. I'm Dr. Drayvon James, and we just concluded our segment with Sarah Troy. Amazing. And I'm super excited to introduce you to our next guest, Mark Johnson. Mark Johnson started his spiritual journey 6 decades ago and is an expert Tai Chi in
Qigong.
We were just discussing this in the break. Tai Chi and Qigong expert. Mark co-founded the National Qigong Association and is the founder of the Integral Tao Centers in New Mexico, New York, and California. His new book is titled Life as Play. Live compassionately, intuitively, spontaneously, and miracles will happen. I am so excited to have you on the show. Welcome, Mark.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so I got to tell you, I was telling you during the break that, first of all, I always struggle when I look at the words Qigong. It always gets me and have to close my eyes to say it properly. But Life as Play, that title just makes me feel that I am in the energy of manifestation. When you say life as play, I think all of my inhibitions kind of melt away, my fears, my expectations. So we can spend a long time just on the title, but what exactly does that mean? Life as a play. Life as a play. What does that mean?
It means that your life can be almost effortless as opposed to working your way through life and you know, enduring this and enduring that. And my favorite phrase is that, first of all, I start every talk out that I do by saying, why have you not yet discovered your own innate divinity? What's holding you up? And the answer is nothing. The gates to the heavens are already wide open. It's just a matter of going through them and knowing your own innate divinity and living it.
That's a heavy statement.
Yeah, it certainly is. But there's nothing heavy about it. It's fun is what I'm getting at. And if you really do just empty yourself and allow the divine to flow through you, then what's the problem? You know, there is no problems at that point. You're already experiencing yourself as the totality of everything, and you're going along with it. And as you mature into this state of being, then the synchronicities start happening like crazy in your life. And that's another emphasis of my book is that when I say the miracles are happening, I'm referring to synchronicities that are actually quite mind-boggling, and they certainly have been in my life almost nonstop. And I never worked a day in my life. I usually don't even think that much anymore. I'm almost completely intuitive and spontaneous, that sort of thing, and happy as hell. So do you have any other questions?
Well, you know, no, you let me just say, you had me at I never worked a day in my life. I love it. Yeah. So I want, and I'm going to speak for probably most of our listening audience when I say, you know, and I'm just being presumptuous that I'm speaking for most of our audience, but at least most of the people that I know that contact me, is that it sounds very surreal to say that life is a play. Like, you know, I can live in this moment. I can live, you know, I can let go. I can empty myself. But then there is the dog barking. There's the boss who has the deadlines. There's the car that just broke down. There's the school that just called about the misbehaved child. There's the aging parents. And you want me to live as if life as a play? How? And I know, as I told you, when I read your material and I, you know, I get all the things that your publicist sent out, I thought to myself, this is it. This is the answer to everything. I know that. But how do we get there?
It all depends on how far you're already into it. And to the extent that you aren't, I start giving people breathing techniques that speed up the openings and blows out your subconscious, and you have to deal with it, and hopefully you will integrate it. And so that's the first step. If you're feeling miserable about anything, or if you're feeling anything less than the complete divinity, the divineness, then you can start through breathing techniques. That's what Qigong actually originally started as. That you can start gathering high frequency energy to you and through you, and then that will eventually blow out the fears and the subconscious, the sabotaging subconscious that a lot of people carry around with them. And as that happens, then most people start screaming, oh, I hate you, Daddy, you know. So there's a period of rage comes out. That's the first thing that usually happens with most people when they do this breathing technique. And I'm not the only one doing that. You know, Wim Hof, you know, that guy that runs up and down the mountains in his underwear. he teaches roughly the same. He and I went to the same teacher in China, but I stayed there for, you know, 10 years, and so I learned a little bit more. But he's into being healthy, happy, and strong, and that's fine as a beginning. But he is doing it, and he can really change what you're capable of doing physically. But then there's another guy named Stan Groff, who was a neighbor of mine in California, and he does the same thing, and he'll put 200 people on the in the room that we're in on the floor with their sleeping bags, and they start with the breathing and over and over again, over, and then he and his friends go around and encourage people to keep breathing, keep that breathing going, and then all of a sudden, bam, somebody explodes, I hate you, whatever, and they will rage for a while. But then they calm down and it gets quiet. And all of a sudden they start crying for a while, because if you wouldn't be raging if you weren't sorrowful about something. See what I mean? It's just an energetic maneuver from one degree to another. And then finally you get down to where from the rage comes the sadness, and from the sadness comes bliss. Actually, and it's just it's indescribable. Some people just start just laughing hysterically. So that's what's the last thing that comes out. And each time one of these aspects of your subconscious that's been in there for 40 years or however old you are, once that aspect comes out, you say, well, help me and join me. Let's work together instead of all this sabotage that's going on. And almost always their inside will say, well, all we ever wanted was to work with you, but you keep us in the cellar all the time.
And, you keep locking me away.
Yeah, exactly. And so they start working for you. And that's a small... small energy of the synchronicities I'm talking about. But after a while, the synchronicities get more and more powerful and more inescapable, to where you're just allowing your life be run by synchronicities. And I have, my book has probably 35 or 40 jaw-dropping synchronicities that happened to me in my lifetime. And it's still going on. And I want to encourage everybody to keep... to do this and to be this, and it's just bliss, constant bliss.
And that's, and just for our listening audience, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Arthur Mark Johnson, and the book is Life as Play. And mm-hmm. I wanted to just say about the breathing, and the crying out and all that stuff. I, for a while there, pre-pandemic, was attending one of these breathworks sort of events where you'd be on the floor and there'd be all these people and witness just that, the screaming out after a little while, and it was just amazing. And then this energy comes through and it just is calm and soothing. But you're right, you break mm-hmm. through something. And as I'm listening to you, I'm hearing a number of voices in my head from past clients, current clients that I'm working with, and this self-sabotage, right? You mentioned that.
Yeah.
And using the breathing techniques to break through this barrier, right? Because this thing we're joking about being locked in the cellar, but it really is dragging you down there, because you got a chain down there and you're part of the chain. And so when you're doing this breathing, it does help to open up areas and, you know, let the light in, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And it's one of the quickest ways to do it is through the deep breathing, which involves like 4 seconds on the inhale down below your navel. If you inhale for 4 seconds, your stomach will go out a little bit. And then with your hands together, you force the exhale, quick exhale, three second inhale and a 1 second exhale. And that forces the chi up the back of your body, over your head, and back down into the cauldron, which is there. The bottom below your navel is a huge holder of this kind of energy. And if you just keep doing that breathing for 45 minutes, usually it takes about 45 minutes for most people to have that explosion that happens when all that energy that's been building up just blows out anything in its path. And then you deal with it. You have to deal with it. You don't really have much choice. There it is, staring you in the face. So I forget what I was getting at, to tell you the truth, but that's the way it works. And I've seen hundreds of people help themselves through that procedure, and they change their lives quite dramatically.
I absolutely love that. And this, of course, is the Everyday Peace Show. And what we're into is helping people to connect through self-discovery, self-awareness, and to get to their next level of greatness. And this definitely seems like a wonderful way to explore. So I just want to reiterate for our listening audience, this breathing technique that you just shared with us so generously, thank you for that, was the 3-second inhale and a rapid 1-second exhale.
This is repetitive.
I'm assuming you're lying on your back on the floor or a hard surface.
You can do it standing up, laying down, or whatever. That doesn't matter that much. And it depends on what makes you feel comfortable.
And this is for 45 minutes and to get this breakthrough. So when you go through this, and of course, when I did something similar, a little bit different, but we had a sound bath there, which kind of helped to bring you back even. I will just say that term. I don't know if it's the proper term, but to bring sort of to even out the emotions. But when you do get to this heightened sense and you do start to, release all of this, and what is that like? What is that process like? Because I would imagine that some people start to grab for what they know, which is suppression, right? Mm-hmm. So when all that starts bubbling out of them, what we know how to do as a people so much is to put the mask on and suppress. So what happens to prevent that closing right back up?
The sheer power of the way it works often doesn't allow any fooling around later on, the slipping back into the old. It's so powerful once it comes out, and once you go through the talking and the effort to incorporate them and have them unite with you, use your energy to help me, rather than this sabotaging. And I've never once had anybody not say, "We would love to help you," and now that we're out, we're going to help you. They'll start screaming that, and then they do, and then they call me up 3 days later and say, "Wow, you wouldn't believe what just happened to me. I was trying to get this job for 5 years, and all of a sudden it dropped into my lap," just right after the experience that he just went through. That's the synchronicities, that my book is filled with them. They're absolutely beyond belief almost, but everybody that knows me knows that it's all truth, and I have pictures and everything of the fact that after a while you just you don't have to effort for things, and everything seems new and wonderful, and you start seeing things you haven't seen before, and you're just like you're opened up to the entirety of everything, which you are, and that's a heck of a nice place to be, is all I got to say.
Yes, it sounds right, because we're using the wrong parts of ourselves or using them inappropriately to try to do this journey. And what you're teaching, what I'm hearing, is that there is a much easier, more efficient, more effective way to do this journey. And it is through this concept of living life as a play, so that we can open up to the true experience of it all and realize that if you're having to push and pull and tug and hustle, as they say, or grind, then you're not doing yourself, you're not enjoying the journey like you were meant to enjoy it. So to open up to it. And something you said earlier, Mark, was that this breathing exercise helps you to, I guess, gather high frequency energy. And I love that because everything is energy, isn't it?
Yes, everything is energy, and you are everything. People think they are like a wave in the ocean, a little wave going along, and they're trying to get wetter than all the other waves, of course. I have more money than you, you know. And then all of a sudden, I say to them, I say, you can't separate the wave from the ocean, the entire ocean. It's like, it's all you, you know, you can't separate a wave from the ocean, right? They're all one thing. And you're like a little wave that woke up to, oh, holy hell, look at that. I'm the entirety of the ocean. I don't have to mess around anymore. I don't have to work so hard. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to be better than anybody else. I don't have to anything. You know, it's like, wow. And there you are. You are one. And in the synchronicities themselves, they come so frequently and so powerfully, you don't really have to make much effort at what you end up doing. And most of it is just helping other people get to that spot. That's all I've done for about the last 20 years, I guess, is to get people to that place of oneness.
And so, and I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, you are the ocean. I want them to, say that to themselves as much as they have to really understand that difference between identifying with being a wave and the ocean and how you are both. You're both of them at the same time. And so just be what is and what comes, and it will be so miraculous. The things that happen and the people you meet. My God, you should know that. You should get my book. And you know, it's one synchronicity after another. And by the way, with the breathing, I haven't gotten through an important point. As the stomach goes out, it's a 3-second inhale down there. And then when you squeeze in and up underneath the rib cage to make the high frequency energy go up the spine that you just see. There's your aura. The aura around your body is a huge stack of this high frequency energy, and that's why it's outside your body. It's so high frequency it can't stay inside. You know what I mean? It just penetrates easily. So if you reach out and gather that high frequency down into your head and bring it down your front or wherever it needs to go to heal yourself, I have stories about people that have healed themselves that are almost hard to believe. And it's because they start reaching out and bringing in the high frequency energy that's all around us. And there's no more of this drugs and surgery and drugs and surgery and drugs and surgery. It's gather the high frequency energy into your body and direct it mentally where it needs to be. And you'd be surprised what you can, there's nothing you can't cure. I've seen almost everything about everybody curing itself by people using that method. So I want everybody to be doing it and to having so much fun and just being, you know, feeling what being is like.
How freeing that is. And again, we're talking about Life as Play, the book written by Mark Johnson, and something that you just said here, and I would love it. Where is the book available, Mark? How can the listeners get their hands on the book?
You can go to my site. They're called Tao Publishing Company, and that's the Taoism thing. And this is the Taoist religion that I'm referring to. It was my place that I went in China to quite a few times, many different Taoist centers, actually, and got a lot of different, slightly different ways of doing things. So I was able to experiment with one after another. But anyway, Tao, D-A-O, Publishing, PUBLISHING.com. We'll take you to the book, and you can open it up and read some of the pages and do all this. And the book is in four different ways. One is a voiceover. Do you know what that means?
Yes.
You can get my book as a voiceover, and I think it's one of the least expensive. And then there's one for, there's voiceover, and there's full color, and there's black and white, and there's the electronic version, yes. So go to that site, that one little site, and it'll eventually lead you to the different categories, and you can pick one you want. And you can always call me while you're practicing all the weird. You should see some of those chapters and the synchronicities. Wow. And so if anybody has any questions, they can just call me on the phone. I think my number's in the book there. But it's amazing. And I won't rest until my book is in every motel room in the country.
I hear that passion in you, and it's actually lighting a passion in me too, because everything that you said is so true, that here we have this wonderful vehicle called the body, for which we can use to navigate. And you mentioned about the aura that is around the body. We're meant to utilize this vehicle. It's for our use, right? Because we reside within here. It's for our use, and we end up just, you know, complaining about it or sabotaging it, not, you know, abusing it. But here we have this amazing vehicle for which we can do this amazing journey called life, and we can do it as a play to be in that energetic, high frequency energy. And I call that energy where we can learn to vibrate at the energetic level of the solution instead of at the energetic level of the problem, which is we've all been tuned in and tapped into that energetic level, right? We wake up in the morning, we're stressed. We drive in the car, we're stressed. We're cooking the dinner, we're stressed. And, you know, that is an energy that is available to us, but we do live in a vehicle and a body that we can do so much more, even with just the breath. So I hope that our listening audience will be so excited to learn how to not only heal your emotional health, but your physical health. You're talking about too, changing your health. And you mentioned a little while ago about how you were studying in China for a number of years, over 10 years. Tell us a little bit about that, because I can hear this soothingness in your voice, and I know that a lot of that probably comes from that experience.
Yes, it did. A lot of it did. Because I was Chinese in my last life. That's why it seemed so real and so like, oh, I've been here before, that kind of thing. And but I not only gone there just to teach. I go there to twice a year and take students over there, and we go to China and to Tibet. And we get around to all the great centers that I know and the great teachers that are over there, and even the ones in the mountaintops, we crawl up and get to say hello to them and that kind of stuff. So we have a heck of a good time. But, of course, I haven't been able to do a thing since you know what.
I know. We can't even call the name. Yeah, okay. I know exactly. Now, if people are interested in connecting with you, obviously they can go through the book. And I heard you say you take students. Where are you getting these students? How can people connect to you to possibly become a student?
A lot of people that read my book could say, hey, I want to come to China with you. And, you know, we do Tai Chi in the morning and Qigong at night. And I teach them calligraphy and, you know, what some of the characters represent and some of the little bit of the language and how it differs from ours. And I used to have to teach English in China, because sometimes I'd get run out of money when I was in China. So I taught the Chinese English, and boy, you have no idea how weird English is till you learn something like China, where everything's a picture.
Well, Mark, we're just about out of time,
all
right. And I got to tell you, it was a wonderful delight having you on our show. I'm Dr. Drayvon James. This is Everyday Please. Please check out the book, Life is Play. I absolutely love you. Thank you for being an Everyday Peacemaker.
Okay, good.
Been listening to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James. You have the power right now, today, to make the decisions, to take the actions that lead you to your next level of greatness, and I would love to walk with you on your journey. Here's some ways we can connect. Schedule a coaching session. Contact me at info@drdravonjames.com. Enroll in my online university course, the 2020 Clarity Course, at the Institute for Leadership and Lifelong Learning International. Enroll in the Brilliant Life 9-week online coaching session with me and Keisha Dixon at info@drdravonjames.com. Purchase my book, Freedom is Your Birthright, from Amazon. Thank you for being an everyday peacemaker. I absolutely love you.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Start your day with a positive affirmation and intention. Since 1924, Daily Word Magazine has offered inspiration and practical teachings through daily prayer messages to help people of all faiths. Your subscription includes 2 months of daily affirmations, articles, and spiritual poetry to keep you inspired and motivated. Check out the digital subscription package that includes the online magazine with audio, smartphone app, and daily email. Get your subscription today. Visit dailyword.com or unity.org.